The river's more important than the offering, amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so before he went to heaven, Jesus warned the disciples. And he said, you know, I'm coming back. He'd risen from the dead. All the disciples had seen him. And over 500 other people. The patriarchs had raised from the dead, and they were all walking around, and they were seen in the streets of Jerusalem. And then Jesus met with the disciples. He said, you know, I'm coming back. They said, what's going to be the sign? And he gave them many signs in Matthew 24. He said, there's going to be earthquakes, an increase in earthquakes. There's going to be lawlessness. Parents will turn against their children and children against their parents. There'll be more disrespect between children to parents than ever before. There'll be tsunamis, floods in diverse places. I'd never heard of a tsunami before 2001. Anybody else? I'd never even heard the word. Yeah, well, it probably is. But Jesus gave us fair warning. Fair warning. And he was saying simply this. Now, I could stand up here today and I could preach you a pretty gospel and say, oh, Jesus is your girlfriend and he'll dance around the flower beds with you. But if I really love you, I'll tell you the truth.
Amen.
Amen. That there is love, but there's also a judgment coming as well. Okay? And Jesus warned the disciples. It was written down so that we could hear it and be warned about it as well. Because the things that Jesus spoke about in his day are the things that are happening in our day. Amen. So can I have the first picture up, please, Joan? Hallelujah. If you remember, actually, just one sec. You can give. Could someone give? Andrea, could you give one between two, please? Hallelujah. Thank you. And so if you remember the last week, we started with this, but then sort of felt the Holy Spirit move in a different way. So I'm going to read. Can you go on to the verses first, Joan, and read? We'll do 1-6, and then we'll come back to that picture. If you remember a few weeks ago, we did Revelation chapter 15 and 16. Seven angels appeared with seven bowls full of incense, which were the judgments of God. And chapter 16 spoke about how those judgments are poured out upon the earth. John saw them from heaven. We've got them coming on earth. Okay? So now it leads into chapter 17, the book of Revelation from the Holy Bible. Hallelujah. And this is what it reads. John the Revelator, where he says this, is seen in heaven, he's lifted up to heaven and is shown all these end time things. And then through many visions, this is one of them. And this is right towards the end of everything being closed up by God. And he says this, he says, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me saying, come here. I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed sexual immorality. Those who dwell in the earth were made drunken with the wine of her sexual immorality. He carried me away in the spirit into wilderness. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet-coloured beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of the sexual immorality of the earth. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great amazement. We'll just stick on that one, Joan. Thank you. Babylon. So John sees this woman riding a beast, like she's riding a horse. And she sees this woman. He sees this woman and he says she's a harlot. She's a prostitute. And she's holding a cup in her hand, a cup of immorality. And all the peoples of the earth are drunk on that immorality. So everyone, through all the generations of mankind, have drunk from her cup. And that is why those who are not yet saved are in big trouble. Those who are not yet saved are in big trouble. So the problem is that you have an apostate church at this time. And the apostate church preaches this: God tolerates everything. That's what the apostate church preaches. God tolerates everything. He's not a God of justice. He's not a God of judgment. You live your life the way you want to, and you make God in your own image, and there's nothing to worry about. Didn't the devil say the same to Eve? Did God really say that he was going to make you die if you eat from that tree? And we're still paying the price today. Hallelujah. God doesn't tolerate anything. And he's sovereign. And he has given us clear instruction of how to live in Christ. That as well as all the blessings that we have, there are also responsibilities. So we mustn't get mixed up when we say the judgment of God. Because God comes and saves us as we are. We can't put ourselves right. We can't live righteously to save our lives. So God says you must be born again. And when we get born again, he puts his spirit within us and empowers us to live righteously. And he says in Ezekiel, he says, I'll give you a new heart with new desires. And so he gives us desires that please God, which is brilliant because we get all the help we need. Now, do we carry on sinning? Yeah, we'll carry on sinning until the day we go home to glory. But the issue is that our aim in life is not against God. It's for him because he's changed us. And the scriptures say 7 times a righteous man might fall down, but 7 times he'll get back up. Amen. So we have this innate desire to sin, but when we're born again, we have this innate desire to do righteousness. And when we come to glory, we will be fully transformed into the image of Christ, and there won't be any sin anymore. No sickness, no death, no regret, no pain. Oh, no more getting off the floor with bad knees. No more worry. The worry will be done. Done deal. No more worry. But in the meantime, we have this harlot that John sees that is covering the earth, riding the beast. And verse 15, as we'll read a bit later, it explains what this woman is. She's sitting on the people as well, because it talks about the seas. And later on it says that the seas represent the peoples of the earth. So this Babylonian system, what is it? Why does the book of Revelation call it Babylon, back to the old city of Persia? Well, we go back. If you have a Bible, you can turn quickly. I'm not going to wait long. Genesis 10. Genesis 10. After the flood, a man named Nimrod, the Bible calls him a mighty warrior. But if you read the Hebrew there, it talks about him actually being a tyrant. He was a tyrant. And he was defiant against God. And God gave Noah the command, go out over the earth, subdue the earth like he gave to Adam, and multiply. But what Nimrod did, he wanted to do things his own way. How many of us do that? No, God, I want to do it my own way. And we suffer consequences of that. Whew.
Let your power come, Holy Spirit. Let this word land in the hearts of people and transform us all, Lord. So what Nimrod did in Genesis chapter 11, what he did, it doesn't actually say that he was the instigator of building the Tower of Babel. And man said in his heart, let's build a tower up to God and we'll be like him. And many scholars believe, because of it following on, that that was Nimrod who instigated that. So Nimrod, they built a Tower of Babel. And they get so far up, and God comes down. He said, let us go down. Remember the plural. God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let's go down and let's stop these people doing this. So we confuse the languages, and that's why we have different languages in the world today. From Genesis 11, it tells you all about it. And that city was called Babylon. The Tower of Babel was in Babylon. And it represents defiance. And from that time to our day now, Babylon has always represented defiance and pride and such things like that. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And did you know this, that Babylon is the most mentioned city after Jerusalem in the Bible? Who's put the dishwasher on? Babylon is the second most populous city named in the Bible after Jerusalem. So you can see this constant battle between good and evil, not just in people, not just in God and the saint, although there is no battles, the devil's already lost, but also between locations, between systems, between world events. And so what God did when Israel, the nation of Israel, was in defense, what God did was, was in defiance to his ruling. What God did was he carried the people off in judgment to the city of defiance, and the God of defiance ruled over them as a punishment, so that they had their fill of the rewards of defiance, rebelling and wanting to do things their own way. And God left them in captivity, depending on the sin that they'd committed against him, to teach them, to save the nation. He disciplined them. The problem these days is because of a lady named Alice Bailey. If you go and read up about her, who was a witch who brought witchcraft into this nation, and she set a 10-point plan and wanted to destroy Christianity in this nation. And one of the points was this: do not discipline the children. And in 1949, the UN adopted that law, and that's been implemented into our homes ever since. So it takes a parent's right away to discipline the children, so the children grow up with no boundaries. And now we reap a harvest of children having no boundaries, because they don't know left from right. They don't know right from wrong. They are so confused. The damage done to children in this nation leaves us open to judgment on that alone. And the church, by and large, has been silent. I will talk about the established church. So we will wander off occasionally. But it's just to bring you an awareness of the reality of God in today's events. That all the chaos you see today, it's God's written word is coming, being fulfilled. Do you know, even there is a prophecy about Iran, the king of Iran. Check this out. There's a prophecy. I'll put you on the WhatsApp group later. There's a prophecy about the king of Iran being taken away from his power for so many years, and then those who replaced him will be destroyed and he'll be reestablished, which is happening right now. And that was written 3,300 years ago. Time to get into the Word. Time to get into the Word. And so we see this harlot, this Babylon, this system, this world system, which represents a false religion, the toleration of anything goes, the worship of idols. Nebuchadnezzar, I built this. I am God. God's hand touched him and he ended up eating grass for a long time like an animal until God restored him and humbled him. And we see how Babylon uses herself, and she uses people, and she uses political powers in order to get what she wants. The reality, though, is in the end, she's going to be destroyed. So we're going to go on. Can you put that picture back up, please, Joan? Oh, wait. Thank you. So we've just done Revelation 17, 1 to 6. Okay? We're going to do 8 to... Revelation 3, 8 to 18, 15. 8 to 15, which talks about the beast. Can you put the verse 7 on, please, Joe? So first of all, John sees this harlot and he rides this beast. So we've just looked at who the harlot is. Now let's look at who the beast is. The angel said to me, why do you wonder? Because John's seen all this stuff and he's absolutely amazed. And the angel says, why are you wondering about this? I'm going to explain what this is. I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. Carry on, Joe, please. The beast that you saw and is not. Do you remember I mentioned this last week? The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come out of the abyss and go into destruction. So I'm going to just break this down as we go. The angel is talking to John in John's day. Okay? And he's talking about this beast having seven horns. And so he says, the beast that's coming up, he was once, at the time of John's life, he wasn't, but he will come again up out of the abyss, which is happening in our time. Those who dwell on the earth and whose names have not been written in the book of life. That's really important that you hear that. Those who dwell on the earth, because this is happening in the tribulation. A lot of scholars believe we won't be here. I'm hoping we're not. You don't want to be hearing this. Those who dwell on the earth and whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will marvel when they see that the beast was and is not and shall be present. Next verse, please, Joe. Here is the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Do you remember we put that image that you've got in your hands? The seven mountains represent the seven ages, the seven empires of man. And this harlot has sat on all seven of them. She's covered them. People have been enticed by her debauchery and her riches and her gold and her style. Man has always been susceptible to that. So these seven mountains that John is seeing is what is on that paper. Next verse, please, Joe. They are seven kings. Here we go. Five have fallen. So at the time, if you have a look on those paper, five have fallen. The one empire that was at John's time was a Roman Empire. And then he says, the other one that is to come has not yet come. It comes in the end times. When he comes, he must continue a little while. Why does he say that? Because he ain't going to be around long. Because when he comes up on the earth, he's going to bring a terrible evil with him. And the wrath of God is going to be full. And God's going to pour his wrath out on the earth and finish the lot. It's really clear. Okay, next verse, please, Joe. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth. So out of these, the seventh empire that is to come, which is around now, will arise this beast, who is the Antichrist. And the angel said, he's not here at the moment, but is himself also the eighth empire, the eighth kingdom, okay? And is of the seven, so he's of man. And he goes to destruction. So his end is going to end in judgment. Next verse, please, Joe. The ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet. So these ten kings are going to rise up in our days, okay? The Antichrist is going to appear on the stage. He's going to get killed, and then there's going to be like a false resurrection. And those whose names are not written in the book of life are going to fall for it. And that's what the scripture said, and they're going to marvel and go, whoa, look at that. And they're going to be deceived. And Satan's going to take them all the way to hell with him. If there's ever a day that you need to cry out to God, today. The ten horns that you saw, ten kings who have received no kingdom. These kingdoms, let me just say this, it might be a possibility, I don't know. But this peace deal that Donald Trump is doing now, there are ten kings on there. They haven't yet received the power because the board hasn't been set up. That could be it. I'm not saying it is, but we're heading that way for sure. But they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. In other words, they receive a short time. So these ten kings on the peace deal, because it's all of the scriptures centered around Jerusalem. If you want to know what time we're at, Israel is the big hand, Jerusalem is the little hand, and when they strike 12, it's over. And so all the nations of the earth, there is none like Israel and Jerusalem in God's eyes. You know, it all sent. That's why there's so much anger against them. It's a rebellion of God, of man towards God. But they receive authority as kings with beasts for 1 hour. So they're going to make a deal with Israel for peace. And they're going to break the deal. And then the Antichrist is going to rise up and reveal who he is. He's going to destroy Babylon, the representation of Babylon, and put himself on the seat in the Jewish third temple and demand every person on this earth worship him. And the scripture is very clear. If you're not saved and you don't worship him, it's off with your head. That's what it says. You'll be decapitated if you don't worship the beast. Don't want to be here. Okay, next verse, please, Joe. These ten kings have one mind. You see, what happens is that the Antichrist gets killed, so there's a vacuum of power, and these rush in. And then the Antichrist comes back to life, and they're so in awe of him, these ten kingdoms, that they give their power back to him. And they give their power and authority to the beast. So there's a real globalism going on, the WHO. NATO, all global systems like that, the World Economic Forum, they're already in place. Next verse, please, Joe. These will war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. So they're going to try and war against Jesus. That is just going to be a wipeout. Glad I'm on his side. Next verse, please, Joe. He said to me, the waters which you saw, here we go, this was talking about, where the prostitute sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. So this harlot that is an apostate religion and an apostate system covers the whole earth and seduces all peoples, all nations under a power of riches, because she's adorned in jewelry and purple and scarlet, which represents royalty. Whenever a man or a woman thinks they're more than anyone else, they promote themselves to king or queen. It's the pride of man. You go around in many churches and the priests walk around in fine linen. And where does it say that in the scriptures? It's just vanity. It's vanity. Oh, look at me, I'm swinging a ball of incense and dressed in a nice fine dress and all this silk and all this thing, and behind doors are probably committing the worst sin out. The vanity. Jesus said, isn't life more than what you wear, worth more than what you wear? Your life is so valuable, you don't need to dress it in fine things. He said, Solomon, in all his glory, wasn't even dressed as one of the lilies of the field. What God dresses, you can't dress anymore. It's true, isn't it? Next verse, please, Joe. The 10 horns which you saw, they and the beast will hate the prostitute, will make her desolate, will strip her naked, will eat her flesh, and will burn her utterly with fire. So these 10 kingdoms are going to turn against the harlot. And I think it's Revelation 13. Now, it actually says that the Lord will cause them to hate the harlot in their hearts and will destroy. I think it says it in this verse. And they'll come against the harlot and they will rape the harlot and destroy her. Is this going on today? Are we seeing a lot of unusual rape over nations? We are. Look across Europe. Read the stats for Europe. Rape is up 72% in some countries. And most of it is committed by illegal immigrants. Now, some immigrants need help, but some are coming for the purpose to destroy. And the problem is that you don't know who's who until the act is done. And that's why you get all this conflict and chaos going on. Because those without the mind of wisdom see one immigrant causing a problem, and so they label all immigrants the same. Only with the mind of Christ can you look and say, actually, this is a work of the devil to cause division between nations with the sole purpose of stripping down those that they come before and overpowering nations. Next verse, please, Joe. We go on to, For God has put it in their hearts to do what he has in mind, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God should be accomplished. Everything in God's word is going to be accomplished. Everything. And do you know what? We're going to look across at some events that are going to come this year in the world and we're going to go, well, that ain't right. But God has caused it because his word has got to be fulfilled. And that's why the angel said, only the mind who has wisdom will understand the things are about to take place upon the earth. So if we don't have the Spirit of God living in us and we're not in a daily relationship with Jesus, we're going to get angry at God for the things that are happening on earth, and we're going to side on the wrong side, and we're going to end up in judgment. It's a powerful thing. God has put it in their hearts until his words are accomplished. Till everything in this book that is going to rile you and it's going to rile me. But God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And if you look at any prophecy and have a look at the world, you'll see that he has warned us from the beginning what is about to take place and what is already taking place. Next verse, please, Joe. The woman who you saw is a great city, speaking of Babylon, which reigns over the kings of the earth. Next verse, please, Joe. There we go. We move into chapter 18. And what we'll do, because the scriptures say this, blessed are those who read this book. Blessed are those who hear the words. It doesn't really need much translation, chapter 18, so we're just going to read through it. Might stop. Oh, there is verse 4, I think it is. But it says what's going to happen. It's quite simple. You can see what's going to happen. It doesn't need like translating or whatever it is. So we're just going to read through it. So John says, after he saw this, the city of Babylon being destroyed, and this beast rising up on the earth made of these 10 kings, and they all give their power to this one person who becomes the Antichrist, filled with Satan, enters into the third temple of Jerusalem, declares himself as God, commands all worship, unless your head's going to be chopped off, you will worship me. And after John says that, he says this. He said, after these things, I saw another angel coming out of the sky, having great authority. The earth was illuminated with his glory. Yeah, go, Joe. He cried with a mighty voice, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and she has become a habitation of what? A wicked woman. Demons, a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hated. What's that mean? So it's speaking a spiritual language here. And do you remember when Jesus told the parable? Actually, we've all read it this week, of the seeds, the sower. And he said, the birds of the air come and steal it away. They come. You told the word of God, you told the gospel. And immediately when you hear it, you're like, that's amazing, really? Brilliant? Oh, wow. And it lands on your heart and you go out and it says that the birds of the air suddenly come down and they steal it out of your heart. Who are the birds of the air? They're demonic forces. That's what they are, absolutely. Nothing of God would come and steal his word out of your heart. In fact, the word, anything from God will come and encourage it and cause it to grow. And those birds are in this prison with the demons. Read Matthew 13 in the light of this. Brings another revelation to it. Okay, next verse, please, Joe. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her sexual immorality. The kings of the earth committed sexual immorality with her. And the merchants of the earth grew rich from the abundance of her luxury. You look across at the Middle East, Dubai, where they're making these smart cities. You know, and the kings are just living in luxury. Everything's luxurious. It's all going to fall. There's no investment. It's not worth investing in. Go for it, Joe. Next, please. I heard another voice come from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may have no participation in her sins and that you don't receive of her plagues. Come out of her. If you're running after gold and silver and immorality at this time in your life, God's warning is then and it's now. Come out of her. Come away. Because I'm about to pour my hand of judgment over her, and if you're in her, you're going to get it as well. And that is not God's desire. God wishes that all will be saved and that none go to hell. Next verse, please, Joe. For her sins have reached the sky and God has remembered her iniquities. Next, please, Joe. Return to her just as she returned and repay her double as she did. And according to her works, in the cup which she mixed to her double. Next verse, Joe. However much she glorified herself and grew wanton, so much give her of torment and mourning. For she, back a bit, please, Joe. Give her mourning. Do you remember Jesus said something along these lines? He said, do not judge, because the measure with which you judge, you'll be judged. And that's what's happening here. The measure with which she sinned, the judgment's pouring on her. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow. And I will in no way see mourning. Next one, Joe. Therefore, in one day her plagues will come, death, mourning, and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For the Lord God who has judged her is strong. Hallelujah. Next, please, Joe. The kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived wantonly with her will weep and wail over her when they look at the smoke of her burning, standing far away for the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for your judgment has come in one hour. The merchants of the earth, we're getting to an interesting part here now, the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her. For no one buys their merchandise anymore. So this is commerce. that's being judged, the economics of the world, the economic system, which is corrupt as anything. Next verse, please, Joe. Look at this. Merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, all expensive wool, every vessel of ivory, every vessel made of most precious wood, and of brass, and of iron, and of marble. Here we get to the important bit. And cinnamon, incense, perfume, frankincense, wine, olive oil. In other words, everything that is commerce on the earth is being sold under the governance of Babylon. Look at this. Fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, and what? People's bodies and souls. People's bodies and their souls. Make sure that your soul has no part in this system. Human trafficking, child trafficking, slavery, all comes under this prostitute, this great harlot, this system. Destroys many nations, destroys many souls. And that's why God says, come out of her. Come out of her. Like a man who keeps visiting a brothel. And she has sex with the man to get money. And God says to the kings of the earth and to his people, come out of her. Don't do it. Because I'm about to judge. Next verse, please, Joe. The fruits which your soul lusted after have been lost to you. All things that were dainty and sumptuous have perished from you, and you will find them no more at all. Keep going, please. The merchants of these things who were made rich by her will stand far away for the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city. She who was dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in an hour such great riches are made desolate. Every shipmaster and everyone who sails anywhere, and mariners, and as many as gain their living by the sea, stood far away and cried out as they looked at the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like the great city? But I got good news. Because Jesus is Lord. And next week, we're going to read chapter 19, where the King is coming back. Hallelujah. With all the saints. Hallelujah. And judgment is done. And we'll be rejoicing with him forever. And all the things of this life will be done and dusted. And we'll be champion, our champion of heaven, forever and ever. Without end, without sleep, without no need to rest or anything. We will just keep on praising him. Hallelujah. So thank you, Lord, for the book of Revelation that tells us the judgments that are coming on the earth, but gives us an even greater time to celebrate in God, because we're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever praising God all the time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's been a long, long book, hasn't it? This book, it's been heavy going. Sludge, sludge, judgment, sludge, sludge. But it's a good end. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're just going to have a last song of worship. Oh, Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord. More, Lord. Pour out your spirit, God. I'm just going to ask that everybody just be still for a moment. It's okay if you need to go to the toilet just before people get into conversation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Everything that you said is going to happen is happening. And Lord, it's time that men and women get right with you, Lord.
that we turn from our wicked ways, that we turn from our sins, that we humble ourselves and turn to heaven and begin to pray for you, because you said, Lord, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that you will hear our prayers and heal our land if we would but humble ourselves. And Jesus, you said you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again to live through those times and come out triumphantly. Or to be raptured, you must be born again. So I'm going to ask that while we're just in this moment, I'm going to ask for everyone, if you would, close your eyes, please, just for a moment. And if also I could ask you to just bow your head a little bit in the presence of God.